You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome along to the Punt Podcast. Dave Kellner, Lee Phelps and Derek McGovern in situ ahead of the Premier League weekend. Thank goodness the international football is done and dusted and we can get back to the regular weekend fare. The Premier League is back. It feels like it's been gone for ages, Derek, as well.
Every season it's the same. It just starts to get into its stride and then it's postponed for these ridiculous internationals. Like England need a fortnight off to play against San Marino. You know, this is the honest truth. It's on Tuesday night I was watching England-Switzerland game. I bored my proverbials off. And 15 minutes from the end, they switched over to Celebrity Big Brother. That's how bad international football is. I mean, I can't believe I'm actually admitting that, but that is the truth. What an indictment of international football that
you
is.
You get a few games. The Scotland-Germany game was pretty good, but I don't think, I've said this loads of times, San Marino and the likes of San Marino should not be playing in these qualifying tournaments.
No.
It's a waste of time. I worked out their home record. They'd drawn one. Lost 30 and won none. Five goals against 107. They're not getting any better, are they?
No.
You know what I mean? I know they got a 0-0 draw against Estonia, but they shouldn't. It's just a waste of time.
Yeah. England would have been given a tougher time by Jose Marino, never mind San Marino.
Let's get stuck into this weekend's fixture list then, and we start with the lunchtime kickoff on Saturday, 12:45 p.m. Everton versus Chelsea. Everton 3-1, the draw 21-10, and Chelsea 21-20. Headline offers: Romelu Lukaku to score and Everton to win is a 9-1 shot. Diego Costa to score and Chelsea to win in the market at 5-2. And Lee, we've got two teams in different form at the moment. Everton picked up just 5 points from their opening four games. Chelsea just got four at the moment. Lee, even though you've spoken in the past about Crystal Palace surprising teams on the road this season, big surprise to see them win at Stamford Bridge, and Chelsea have looked a little bit disjointed so far.
Yeah, I didn't put them up to win. I thought Chelsea would win it, but both teams would score. And you just look at those results and they're not clever, are they? Even winning away at West Brom 3-2, it's not particularly great, is it, with John Terry sent off as well. This has to be the new start to their season, I guess, and I'm presuming that's what they'll be billing it as inside the club. Luckily for them, Everton, they scored three at Southampton. Since then they couldn't score against Man City, couldn't score against Tottenham, so you wonder if they'll be up for this. I'm looking forward to seeing this Chelsea team and seeing if a few players stand up now. I mean, we know Derek's opinion on Diego Costa. I'm the opposite opinion, but look at the record now. It's one goal in absolutely ages, and he stunk the place out for Spain the other night, by all accounts. Many of them did. Another one who's, it's another Spaniard, Fabregas. I mean, where is Fabregas? This time last year, people were saying he was a player of the year already. We've barely seen him. There's also the very interesting storyline with John Stones. Course, first game after the transfer window, and it's at home against Chelsea. So, maybe there'll be a storyline there. We'll see how big John Stones is, or how big John's Stones are, I suppose, for this game. I think Chelsea will do it, but I've said that, and I said that for the Palace game. But it's not going to be easy. Even though they're odds against, and Chelsea, the champions, being odds against anywhere are worth looking at, I still don't think I can take it. I'm going to swerve the outrights here, and I've got a little bit of a thing I'm doing this week on the punt. Players who scored.
Putting winners.
Players who scored. No laughing from McGovern. When you've got a winning at McGovern, you can start laughing. Players who scored an international duty. I followed this before. Score the week when they come back. They're buoyed up. The confidence is there, etc., etc. Eden Hazard hasn't been fantastic at his normal level for Chelsea so far, but scored for Belgium and was instrumental in their two Euro qualifiers. Scored in that late winner for them in Cyprus when not many others played very well. 8-5 to score in this one. I think we'll start to see him getting better and we'll start to see Chelsea getting better, but not quite confident enough to back the Blues, the London Blues, that is. 8-5, Eden Hazard anytime.
Okay, Eden Hazard anytime for Mr. Phelps. To put this Chelsea start into context, worst start to a league season they've had since 95-96. They've conceded 8 goals in their last 3 Premier League away appearances. That's twice as many as they conceded in the 7 away appearances before that. Defensively, Derek, they look in disarray at the moment.
Branislav Ivanovic has been one of my favourite defenders, you know, most impressive. And he's all at sea. John Terry's, he looks as though he's finished. I don't know what's going on there. And to back Chelsea at just around the evens mark, it's to suddenly think they're going to turn around again like last season. But why? There's no evidence whatsoever. I just can't have them. At those kind of odds. The backdrop to this, of course, is what Lee mentioned, the John Stones story. I mean, Chelsea courted them all summer, and Everton snubbed all their wooing all summer. Now, that in football parlance, that's known as a transfer saga, and in any other parlance, as my love life. I'm not sure about Stones. I mean, he's obviously a good player. He's only playing for England already. But is he worth what Chelsea have been offering for him? I mean, Roberto Martinez encourages Stones to play the ball out of defence. Now, previous manager David Moyes encourages men to play the ball out of attack or just out. <You know? laughs> He's reopened for contract talks with Everton now, Stones. So, and Everton now wanting to do a U-turn. But he's asked instead if he can do a Cruyff turn. That's how he likes playing. I think Everton are great bets here. I really do. Just a 3-1 mark against the team. Now, I've got no confidence. Chelsea look a shadow of them for themselves. Well, in Diego Costa's case, a 5 o'clock shadow of them for themselves. And I can't see why Everton are so big here. Nobody likes going to Goodison. It's a tough ground to win on. And Chelsea aren't winning anywhere at the moment. So Everton for me.
Everton in the market at 3-1, Lee?
I've been pretty critical of Everton's transfer policy. The lack of a transfer policy, I suppose you would call it. But the deadline day move. It's going to be interesting to see how this guy turns out. He's an Argentinian defender. Apparently, Martinez went in to see the boss Ken Wright and said, "I want More." And so we got him. He spent 9.5 million on Funes More. So that was just all engineered for that line. It probably wasn't worth it.
It was just about worth it, I think. Just about worth it.
Thank you.
Oh, no, Will, I put that out to a vote. Put it to a Murray poll.
let's not waste any time on that, Derek. People got better things to do with their lives. But 9.03 million. So that's all the money they spent. I know they got Delafu back on. But I still don't think they've strengthened enough, Everton, going through the season. I still think they'll struggle this season.
Hmm. Manchester United versus Liverpool is arguably the feature match this weekend. 5:30 p.m. kickoff on Saturday. Manchester United 19-20. The draw is 12-5. Liverpool in the betting at 7-2.
Before Derek starts, I think he will start this one. Are you ahead of West Ham Newcastle United on Monday night?
Just a bit. I was saying when I mentioned the word arguable, it's not arguable, is it? This is the feature football match. This weekend. Manchester United slight odds on to win it. The draw is 12-5. Liverpool in the market at 7-2. Headline offers here: Memphis Depay to score and Manchester United to win 9-2. Wayne Rooney to score and Manchester United to win is 3-1. And Christian Benteke to score and Liverpool to win 7-1. Derek, Louis van Gaal could be the most hated man in the Premier League at the moment. At every step you take, you can't get away from the fact that many column inches being devoted to him and his management of this football club. And recently he's been criticised by high-profile former players. Gary Neville and Paul Scholes have come out and said that the style of football is wrong. Louis van Gaal said it makes him feel sick because those players should know that it takes time. But I think even the fans, they just hate the style of football Manchester United are playing at the moment.
Well, that's it. Love him or hate him, Fergie. He had United playing fantastic football. Even if they weren't winning trophies some years, they were fantastic to watch. And under Van Gaal, Man United have turned into Stoke. I mean, they're just unrecognisable. And moreover, they're not winning matches with that style. You know, it's okay if you win and get collecting points while you're boring the arse off people, but not if you're losing games as well and losing after taking the lead against Swansea. It's been an unmitigated disaster. Whichever way you gloss over it, the results bear that out. Now, you mentioned that he's the most hated manager. He's most hated by the sound of things in Old Trafford. The players are revolting. They have been for many, many years. I look at United and I just don't. He talks about his philosophy. I don't see anything. I don't see any shape. Players that you'd want to take men on are checking back, passing ball back. Rooney's looked unreal. He scored a couple of goals for England, but for United, he's looked so slow, he'd struggle to beat one of his racehorses. I mean, I just, I wonder who the fitness coach is there, Eric Pickles. I mean, what's happened to him?
Eric Pickles, he's still in the house of
Commons. Remember last season, Gary Neville called this a match between two pub teams. Remember, it was a shocking game.
Yeah, he did.
Well, you know, they haven't progressed. It's almost an insult to pub teams. And it's amazing that this game, you look at this game, and this used to be a game that would decide trophies, didn't it? You know, now it's almost an afterthought. Even on Liverpool, you know, Liverpool fans I've spoken to in the pub, this used to be the game, you know, to get them fired up. But it's just like another game at the moment. That's how bad things are for both teams. All I would say is United at odds on is an absolute joke. I wouldn't be having a penny of that. I backed Liverpool 4-1 to win at Arsenal a couple of weeks ago, and they should have done really. And at Arsenal, Man United are an inferior team to Arsenal, and Liverpool are still around the same odds, 7-2. So I'm going to say that game against West Ham for Liverpool a couple of weeks ago when they lost 3-0 at home, I'm going to say that was a blip. They can't possibly be that bad. And I'm going to go for Liverpool at 7-2. When you get two bad teams playing, or two teams who are off form playing against each other, you don't back the team that's odds on.
Did those Liverpool fans, incidentally, know you were talking to them, Derek? Or did you just sidle up that and start...
Yes, and then 30 seconds later, they all left the pub. I have that effect.
Liverpool, come into this... having been beaten inexplicably, really, 3-0 by West Ham at Anfield. Incredible result, that one.
I agree with pretty much everything Derek said there. I don't expect it to be a classic game. I think Liverpool were exceptional in that first half against Arsenal. If they can replicate that, I think they've got more goals in them than Man United have. You know, obviously they've brought in their new signing for £35 million, Anthony Martial.
Martial?
I'm going to call him Marshall because it means as soon as he scores a fantastic goal, they can use the headline Martial Arts.
Nice.
Yeah. But yeah, look at the money they've spent, by the way, as well.
Oh, it's ridiculous, isn't it, really?
This summer, and it hasn't really made much of an impact so far. Maybe Depay will, maybe Martial will. And people are saying, you know, Louis Saha saying he's like Thierry Henry when he was that age. So maybe he'll become a world beater. Won his first two France caps in the international break, incidentally. But yeah, I'm going to go Liverpool draw, no bet. I fancy the draw. I just think Liverpool might be able to sneak it. So I'll take that 2-1 on the draw, no bet, Liverpool.
2-1, DNB Liverpool in that match. On to Sunday's televised games. 1:30 p.m. Sunderland take on Tottenham. Sunderland 16-5. The draw in the market at 9-4. Tottenham 19-20. Headline offers: Jermaine Defoe to score and Sunderland to win is 7-1. Harry Kane to score and Tottenham to win is in the betting at 5-2. I just wonder whether that headline offer for Harry Kane to score goes back to your theory of players scoring international break and then coming and scoring the Premier League. Looks good at 5-2 because he's having plenty of shots but not converting. Only 2 goals in his last 12 in the league, but got a couple of confidence boosters in the internationals. This could be the match where he gets back on track.
I'd say you read my notes if I had any notes. Yeah, I like that. Straight up, Harry Kane to score and Tottenham to win. I mean, the doubt in my mind is that Tottenham win the game. That's my problem here. You know, I've been disappointed with them so far. You know, 3 straight draws now in the Premier League and they lost to Manchester United. So nothing much to get excited about with Tottenham. Sunderland, I mean, at least you're guaranteed goals. I was talking to one of our colleagues who went to the Sunderland 6 Exeter 3 game, and he said he's a mad Sunderland fan, and he said like at 3-3 it was entertaining, and he just suddenly thought at half time, this is Exeter, what are we doing? And they went and won it 6-3. But obviously 4 goals in the game against Villa, 4 goals in the game when they got beaten by Norwich, 6 goals in the game against Leicester as well. It's, you know, there's lots of goals in there. So if they give chances to Harry Kane, I think he will score. And as you said, he scored in the international break. Even money to get a goal, it's a little bit skinny for me. Tell you what though, you know how Harry Kane's been... he's been struggling a little bit with his form and fitness. He's been away with England. This might be we've been talking in the office this week, Derek, about this super sub offer that we've mentioned a couple of times. And we're wondering if there's a couple of cheeky ways in. Obviously, the super sub, if anyone doesn't know, is a William Hill offer where if your player, if you've backed Harry Kane to score and he goes off even before he's scored, his substitute comes on and scores for him, you still get paid out on the Harry Kane price. And that applies to, I think, just about every goal scorer bet we've got here. Hat-tricks. So if your player scores 2, Derek, and then gets taken off and you're coasting, the sub who comes on scores himself, that's, you get paid out on the Harry Kane hat-trick price.
You do?
Yeah.
And the first and last. It's the first and last that I was looking at. So you know, I was looking at Rooney to score first and last for England in that San Marino game. So he scores first, he goes off. Kane scores, obviously, as his replacement. Unfortunately, Walcott scored. But that was 8-1, that price. So I've been looking at like the prices. I mean, you're looking at first and last for Harry Kane, 10-1. This might not be the best example because you don't know who's necessarily going to come on for him. You need to get a team who you definitely like, Aguero. Say you got Aguero at home and Boney comes on for him. That's a nice way of playing it. But I think it might be worth here, Harry Kane to score and Tottenham to win. I think they might just sneak it. They'd be worried if they didn't go to Tottenham and get 3 points here, I think.
Didn't go to Sunderland.
Yes. There as well.
Harry Kane to score, Tottenham to win, 5-2. I must admit, I quite like that bet as well. Tottenham have got a good record, very good record against Sunderland as well, Derek.
Yeah, most teams have. I thought it was a lovely goal he scored for England in midweek. Yeah. It was a bit of class about that goal. And, you know, that boosts his confidence no end. And, you know, if you want to get ended droughts in the league, you know, Sunderland are the team that you dream about playing. This is a team that a couple of weeks ago, well, 3 weeks ago, last 3-1 at home to Norwich. So we're not talking, you know, a tough nut to crack here. I think Tottenham have disappointed me. You know, I haven't yet won. But would a team like Tottenham go 5 games without winning when the teams they've been playing are pretty ropey? They've only had one tough match all season so far. They've drawn with Leicester, drawn with Stoke. I think they'll win Tottenham.
I wasn't laughing at you, Derek. I thought you were saying Leicester was the team because they'd played Man U, hadn't they?
You're right. I wish I'd have. In fact, I'll edit that one to make me sound
wicked. Cut it after I snort.
Tottenham will win this, and Harry Kane will score. So I can't argue with anything you said there.
You're even funny when you're not trying to be.
Good
especially
stuff.
Especially with the kit off.
I wasn't going to mention that. And by the way, stop sending me those texts.
Oh, well.
Harry Kane to score and Tottenham to win in the market at 5-2 there. Let's move on swiftly. Sunday, 4 p.m, Leicester City versus Aston Villa. Leicester 10-11 to win this game. The draw 23-10. Aston Villa 100-30. Headline offers, Jamie Vardy to score and Leicester to win is 3-1. Gabby Agbonlahore to score and Aston Villa to win in the market at 9-1. This one, Derek, it surely falls under your one commandment in that betting Bible, doesn't it?
Well, it does. It's, I mean, 10-3 Aston Villa to win at Leicester. It's just saying, but it's got back me written all over it. It really has. I mean, Leicester have started the season well. We know that. But you know, I mean, there's always a team that comes out the pack and surprises you in the first few weeks of the season. And then come about February, they're desperate to get to the 40-point mark and they ain't going to do it. Villa, I keep saying this season after season, Villa away from home are a different proposition. They're like Palace. Palace are the latter-day Aston Villa now. You know, they're suited to playing away from home, catching teams on the break. And why wouldn't you catch Leicester on the break? I can't believe that they're 100-30, Villa. I think it's a fantastic bet and I'll be having loads of it. And when I finish that, I'll be having some more.
Aston Villa 100-30 to win the game. Leicester have started well under Claudio Ranieri. 8 points from their opening 4 games, Lee. Fixture list has been pretty kind to them. Villa, on the other hand, have been away to Crystal Palace and have been beaten at Old Trafford as well. One stat that stood out to me, Lee, is in 2015, Leicester have scored 37 Premier League goals. Only Man City, Arsenal and Chelsea have scored more. So they've been pretty prolific, Leicester City.
Yeah, and obviously at home, we've been talking about this. We work with the guy who does the match announcing at Leicester. I don't think he's necessarily a Leicester fan, but he just keeps coming in saying it's just bouncing every time. You barely have to say anything to get them going. And that home form, you know, spanning the summer has been great. You know, looking back since March, they had a 0-0 draw with Hull, beat West Ham, beat Swansea, lost to Chelsea, beat Newcastle, beat Southampton, beat QPR 5-1, and this season, beaten Sunderland 4-2. And a good draw with Tottenham as well. I get what Derek's saying. I understand why that looks and that is a big price for a lot of people. But I don't think that away form stands up anymore. I've just been counting up there. I think they've scored more than one goal twice in the last 29 away games. They scored 4 at Sunderland. And remarkably, they scored 2 at Man City at the end of last season. So two games where they've scored more than one goal. I think Leicester have got more goals in them than Villa have at the minute. You know, they're back to the same old problems. I think they've got the second fewest shots on target in the Premier League. Whereas Leicester, right up there near the top of the chart in terms of shots and shots on target at home. per game this is. So I think Leicester can win the game. It's just the price. You know, that 10 to 11 price is... I can't back Leicester odds on against anyone. Yeah. So I think there'll be goals. I think it could be a 2-1 to Leicester. So I'm going to chase a little bit of value here. I'm going to go for Leicester to win and over 2.5 goals in the match, which is 7-4.
Isn't it reminiscent of the opening day fixture? Wasn't it Bournemouth against Villa? And Bournemouth were pretty much the same price.
Yeah.
And it was all the early season optimism, blah, blah, blah. And Villa went there and burst their bubble. Yeah. I can see that happening again.
See goals in that game as well, over 2.5 goals, 10-11.
Yeah, that's a pick 'em, isn't it?
Yeah, that's not bad. I think the over's a better bet than the under, definitely.
Yeah, I like the overs better than that. If you don't want to get involved in the outrights, then the overs is the only pick for me. But I'll chance it and stick with Leicester. Overs and Leicester win at 7-4.
West Ham versus Newcastle is the live game on Monday night, 8 p.m. kickoff. West Ham 5-4, the draw 21-10, and Newcastle in the market at 12-5. Just your predictable start to the season for West Ham. wins at Arsenal and Liverpool, losses against Leicester and Bournemouth at home. Is it too simplistic, Lee, to suggest that their style of play suits them playing away to big teams and not home against weaker teams?
No, not at all. That's exactly what it is. I think it's fairly stark, isn't it? That, you know, you keep saying this. The least you expect of a football and a football team is that they can set up and do what the manager tells them in a defensive formation. So if you set up with five at the back and four in midfield, say, or whichever way you want to do it, so you've got, you know, two wing backs who barely get forward and you make it very hard for the team to hit you, but you've got quality on the break and you're efficient, like West Ham obviously have been at Arsenal and Liverpool, and Palace are going to be this season as well, then it's going to be a lot easier. It's much harder to make the game at home because you haven't got that ability to break out. The other team's sitting back, so how do you open them up? And I think Newcastle might give West Ham a bit of a dose of their own medicine here, because Newcastle, they seem better when they're down to 10 men, to be fair. You know, when McLaren can set them up to say, right, do not do anything other than just defend. If we get a break, great, go on it, but get back into position straight away. It's a bit like kind of rugby league, isn't it? You know, you get back into position immediately and then we start again. And I think Newcastle will go there and at least get a point. I can't be having West Ham at 5-4. I don't think Newcastle are big enough at 12-5. So 21-10, the draw for me is it's a nice bet, that one. I like that.
Your man, by the way, Alexander Mitrovic, everyone's favourite madman.
Scored in the international break.
He did. Can't play now, for he? Serbia. He's not playing. He's suspended in this game. Banned, so yeah. They might have to play with 11 for a while,
yes,
Newcastle,
indeed.
In this match.
Yeah, that's going to be a problem for him. Yeah.
By the way, managers Derek, Slaven Bilic and Steve McLaren have met before in the Euro 2008 yes. qualifiers.
It was the Umbrella game, wasn't it? Yeah.
I thought you met in that club in the Czech Republic that time. McLaren didn't come off any better.
It's actually, that's not in any of the papers, is it? I've been looking at the papers today. There's no mention of that. I wonder whether they've forgotten it or they're saving it till tomorrow. It's a good point, that.
Croatia.
Dave Pelder embargoed it.
There you go. Bilic's Croatia. They beat McLaren's England home and away in those qualifiers in 2008. So he's got a couple over him already, Bilic.
Yeah. Well, it could well happen again, but this game is impossible to call. It really is. You know what? Whenever I look at a Premier League match, my first instinct is to have a bet on the outright, and then I'll get a shape of how I think it's going to go, and then I'll go in deep and have a little look at the specials surrounding the game. I'm not going to have a bet on the outright here because I simply haven't got a clue. You know, I think West Ham are a little bit short, but Newcastle are not a team you want to back away from home, really, unless it's majorly big prices. Mm. Now, instinctively, I thought, yeah, there could be goals in this, but your odds compilers are well on top of it. Both teams to score, yes, only 4-6. Very, very short, that. But as a player, I think there's a shade of value in this. You know, when they're both teams to score and under or over 2.5 goals. Well, both teams to score, if you put no and under 2.5 goals, now, if both teams don't, you know, if both teams don't score, the chances are it will be under 2.5 goals anyway. Mm. 11-8, I think that's a shade of value. I think that's a big price.
Yeah, you can't say 3-0, can you?
No, exactly. That's the bet I'm going to have here, because I can't find a bet in the outright. Mm.
And if you are looking at the total goals markets, under 2.5 is 10-11, over 2.5, 10-11 in that game as well. Newcastle, by the way, Derek, you mentioned that away form. They've only picked up 2 points away from home in their last 9 away matches, so they have been dismal on the road recently. On to the non-televised matches this weekend, then 3 p.m. kickoffs on Saturday. Arsenal versus Stoke first up. Arsenal are 3-10, the draw 4-1. Stoke in the market at 10-1. Alexis Sanchez to score and Arsenal to win is 6-4. Jerdan Shaqiri to score and Stoke to win, a huge price, 33-1. Derek, from an attacking perspective, Arsenal haven't caught fire this season, like many would have anticipated by now. Only scored three goals in their opening four matches. This could be the game they get a few, though. They've won the last seven at home against Stoke and scored 17 goals in that run as well.
But would you back them at 3-10? I tell you what, if I'm having a bet on a 3-10 poke, I basically want a home and host, and Arsenal are a long way short of that. Stoke are a bigger price to win at Arsenal than Palace were to win at Chelsea a couple of weeks ago. I think Palace were 9-1 or 8-1, I think. And they did the business, had tipped by me, by the way. I think Stoke are bigger at 10-1. I think Arsenal are a team to oppose all season long. I could be made to look very, very foolish here. Not for the first time. But I just can't have them at these kind of prices. I can see Stoke going there, frustrating them, the crowd getting on Arsenal's backs, and then Shaqiri popping up with a screamer from 35 yards to reward 33-1 backers for that headline bet. I think Stoke are a decent bet here at 10-1. We've seen how many away wins there are this season. Teams are giving it a go now. The big teams don't frighten them. As Exhibit A, I give you Chelsea against Palace. Too big, 10-1. Too big.
10-1, Stoke for Derek. I can't see this. Ibrahim Afellay and Charlie Adam out for Stoke as well, following their sending offs against West Brom when they lost at home. Stoke. Mm-hmm. What do you think? Do you think 10-1's too big, Lee?
It does look big because Stoke are a good team. But you talk to the guys in the office. There was two Stoke fans in the office, and they're like, "Yeah, Arsenal do us every time. Just do us. Not even entertain the idea that Stoke could get anything out of this game." But Stoke are, it is Stoke. I think I tend to agree with what you were saying there, that you kind of expect Arsenal that they haven't been scoring goals, but they have been having lots of shots.
Yeah.
Sooner or later, someone is going to get it, and it might be that they're just a little bit weak in midfield with those omissions. Charlie Adam one was just ridiculous, wasn't it, getting sent off? But he has got that in him. Sanchez probably performed the best in the international break for Arsenal. Scored a late winner as Chile defeated Paraguay 3-2. Olivier Giroud, by the way, was jeered by the French fans. He wasted loads of chances in the 2-1 win over Serbia in Bordeaux. So he had one of those nights that, like, he had in the Champions League last year for Arsenal, where he just couldn't hit anything. I like Sanchez to score in this game. I'm not mad keen on the price. He's 5-6. And the headline offer is only 6-4. Sanchez to score and Arsenal to win. There's not a lot to go on here, to be honest with you. It's a tricky game. I think I'll play that headline offer. Alexis Sanchez to score and Arsenal to win, with a little saver on Stoke at 10-1.
Okay, so playing both angles here.
80% on Alexis Sanchez and 20% on Stoke.
Okay, let's move on. Crystal Palace versus Manchester City, 3 p.m. Crystal Palace at 9-2. The draw, 14-5. Manchester City, 8-13. Headline offers: Connor Wickham to score and Crystal Palace to win is 10-1. Sergio Aguero to score and Manchester City to win in the market at 7-4. Lee, incredible start to the season for both teams. Second versus first in the league here. And Manchester City won each of their four games to nil so far. Crystal Palace 3-4, with their only loss coming at home to Arsenal. Stretching back to last season now, Manchester City have won 10 straight Premier League games. And if you're looking at the goal scorer betting here as well, Yaya Toure scored in his last three appearances against Palace. Intriguing match this one. Man City 8-13 to win it.
Yes, and they will win it, in my opinion. I think Palace may well score. Maybe the first team to score against them in the Premier League. But I think they'll be too open. I think they'll, at home, again, going back to that, what we've already been talking about in this podcast, I think they'll be easier to beat at home by the big teams. Arsenal, I'm not saying they'll get smashed by anyone, but Arsenal pipped them 2-1, of course. They beat Villa 2-1. I expect that. I just think that they're set up for it to be a really troublesome away team. So I think City will get there. But I'm gonna give Palace a goal here. I think they might be able to just nick a goal from City. A lot more City players been away on international duty. The likes of Kompany, you wonder how he can cope with two games away on international duty and come back. His fitness is, not in question, but it always seems like he needs a bit of a rest every so often. Most of their players played and most of them did something good, to be fair. Loads of them had really good international breaks. Sergio Aguero was the star man in a massive win for Argentina. They won 7-0 against Bolivia, and he played a starring role in that, scoring two, setting up three more during the victory. So he's in good nick. He's obviously travelled a long way, but Sergio Aguero to score and Man City to win at 7-4 is nice. I like that. The other one is Raheem Sterling's been substituted every game so far. So if you're looking at the super sub, maybe Sterling to score 6-4. He might get a goal himself, and then his replacement's been Nasri most of the time. He comes on, have a chance. He's already done that once already, of course. Nasri scored after coming on for Raheem Sterling. So not a bad super sub, Raheem Sterling.
And if you're looking at the match result on both teams to score, given what you've mentioned, yes. Man City 21-10, so over 2-1 for Man City to win and both teams to score in the match.
I know it's a bit bigger than the Aguero headline offer, but I'd rather take the Aguero headline offer.
Okay, 7-4, Aguero to score and Manchester City to win. Derek, Palace, as we mentioned on this podcast already, a better team away from home under Alan Pardew.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, and yet you get a much bigger price, wouldn't you, Palace, to beat City away from home?
Way bigger.
Even though they'd have a much better chance in my eyes.
Yeah.
It's just that bookmakers have to shorten them because they're at home, even though results are telling them don't do that. How long will it be before they wake up? They haven't woken up in four seasons with Aston Villa, so don't expect it to be any time soon. Palace won't win this. City will win this, 8-13. But it is a bit short, I admit, and there aren't too many backers who want to take 8-13 pokes away from home, even if it is City. But a big difference between 8-13 and 13-8 for City to keep a clean sheet. Now, I know Lee's given talked up Palace, you know, and if it was Palace away from home, yeah, I'd fancy them to score. Palace at home, different animal completely. City have kept clean sheets against Everton. They've kept clean sheets against Chelsea. Why wouldn't they keep a clean sheet against Palace? At best, it should be an even money poke. 13-8 is too big, I'm on that.
Man City to win 2-0, 13-8 for Derek. West Brom versus Southampton is next. West Brom 21-10. The draw is 2-1 and Southampton 6-4. Salomon Rondon to score and West Brom to win is 6-1. That's one of two headline offers. The other one, Graziano Pella to score and Southampton to win in the market at 4-1. Derek, Southampton may have beaten Norwich 3-0 in their most recent Premier League match. They were helped, though, by Whittaker's early red card in that game. And their run of 9 Premier League games away from home without a win is equaled only by Newcastle. So they've struggled on the road a little bit, Southampton.
And they're only 6-4. It's an absolutely shocker of a price. You know, I have frequently tried to unearth the best bets of the season. I've had 11 already. But this has got to be the worst. Absolute worst bet of the season is Southampton 6-4. No one will take that. No one with any sense. So it's between West Brom and a draw for me. And the thing is, it's a Tony Pulis side. Southampton aren't going to go for hell for leather. I can see very few goals in this. The 0-0 draw, or no goal scorer if you like, is only 7-1. You don't get any shorter than that for any game, so your odds compilers are on top of it. What I'll do, just to be on the safe side, I might go under 1.5 goals. I'll play on that one, which is 7-4. And you know, and then there's a fluke corner or something going in, you still get paid out.
As mentioned, compilers all over it from a goals perspective as well. Under 2.5 goals here, Derek, 8-15. Yeah. Under 2.5.
Has it ever been shorter in the Premier League game? I suspect not.
Over 2.5 is in the market at 11-8. Lee.
Yeah, interesting one. I just had an email from the press team saying that there's been a decent move for Koeman to be the first manager out. I think it's more based from 33s to 8-1, which isn't that short. I think that's mainly around the Dutch situation internationally. So they may be looking around.
Yeah.
I agree with Derek. I mean, I can't be back in West Brom. I don't like them at home. I mean, I know they scored 2 goals against Chelsea, but it's a bit of a strange game. That probably more down to Chelsea's inadequacies than anything else. But 0-0 against Port Vale at home in the cup, and didn't score against City, of course. Another one there, much better suited to go and grab a point away from home, but I can't be having Southampton either. Interestingly, Pella scored for Italy, Rondon scored for Venezuela in the international breaks. They both come back with both those headline offers come back with a bit of form.
Pella's much better at home, though, isn't he? That's something we've referenced on previous podcasts. Yeah. I think he's only got 2 away goals for Southampton.
I like Rondon. I think he could be a real success. I think he's a physical specimen, isn't he? As they say in the commentary circles, he looks like he could fit into the English game really well. And while this Berahino rubbish is going on, I mean, you know, there's odds around for him to leave it in the January transfer window. I think he may well get a starring role. So I wouldn't mind having a bet on Rondon just to score. I think it's a big price at home, 21-10.
Yeah.
I think he can get about him. And Southampton's defence does look a lot creakier this year than it did last. So I'll go for the draw. As the outright bet, and I like Rondon to score as well.
2-1 the draw, and Rondon 21-10 to score any time. Watford versus Swansea is next. Watford are 7-4 to win this game. The draw 2-1. Swansea in the betting at 7-4. Troy Deeney to score and Watford to win 5-1. Bafétimbi Gomis to score and Swansea to win is 5-1. I must admit, Lee, when I was looking at this match, I love the Gomis headline offer here.
Yeah.
5-1. Swansea, of course, got their tails up after that 2-1 win at home to Manchester United. Gomis has scored 9 in his last 10 Premier League matches and scored in all 4 games this season as well.
Yeah, he's done really well, hasn't he? And I must admit, I doubted he would have this kind of impact. I didn't think he'd be an able replacement for Boney, but nah, been proved wrong. Again, really, I suppose. yeah, it is a nice headline. I thought Watford have disappointed me. I mean, yeah, they started off okay and they were getting draw. Lost to Preston in the Cup, which no one will be crying about because you don't need the League Cup when you're battling for survival. They lost 2-0 at Man City again. No great shame there. There's just not much about them. I thought they'd score more goals than they have. And he scored 2 goals so far in the Premier League. And that was on that opening day draw at Goodison. Swansea, though, I mean, look at Swansea as well. You know, away form, 2-2 draw at Chelsea, 1-1 draw at Sunderland. Home form's been really good, beating Newcastle and Manchester United. I think there are a few draws in the coupon this weekend. And I think there's a draw double out there to be won for someone. You know, if you can pick a draw double, it's a nice little bet. I'm going for a draw here again, Watford v Swansea. If we're carrying on the goal scorers from the international weekend thing, Sigurdsson scored that crucial goal, as Derek will well know, who's a big fan of Iceland, weren't you, Derek?
Yeah.
Scored the winner for them, didn't he? And Iceland, of course, have qualified, haven't they, for the Euro 2016. He's 21-10 to score here. I thought John Joe Selby did pretty well as well for England, by the way. A lot of people talking him up. Yeah, I thought he was pinging the ball around quite nicely. I thought he fit. I mean, to say it was, you know, his first stab at it, I thought he was...
Yep.
A lot of people talking about him
well
being...
I think he did well for 20 minutes, didn't he?
Yeah, I thought he did okay, yeah. I thought he was... he's not... I'm not calling him the new Steven Gerrard or anything, but you kind of forget how young John Joe Shelby is. He's been around
actually
for that long.
Yeah,
I think he's like 28. He's still really young.
And he looks that, though, doesn't he? He looks 28, that's the thing.
He's 23 years old, I think.
I'd rather... Jordan Henderson seems to be an England regular when fit, Liverpool captain. I'd rather have John Joe Shelby than Jordan Henderson.
There's not a lot between them, is there, to be fair? In terms of quality...
Was he 6-1 last week? Sometimes Shelby to make the Euro final squad, which I couldn't believe. I thought it was an absolutely unbelievable bet because he will be in it. He will be in it.
He looks forward more than Henderson as well, doesn't he?
Yeah, you know? And he's like more likely to score a cracker as well. I think he's a good player, and moreover, he'll be on the winning side this weekend because all your reservations, Lee, about Watford are correct. They haven't scored a goal at no goals at Vicarage Road seen this season. Moreover, they've failed to direct a single shot on target in their last two Premier League games. This is Watford.
I saw that one, Derek. It's an amazing start, that, really.
Yeah. How do you do that?
I know.
It's a fluke one, wouldn't you?
And Swansea, I thought, were terrific against United. I mean, they looked a better side. And you know, I've always poo-pooed the idea of backing Swansea away from home because they play nicely football without hurting the opposition. But there seems to be something a bit more steel about them this season. I like the look of them. And whereas everybody seems to be Southampton was everybody's favourite team, especially the bookies last season, I think Swansea might well develop into that this time around. A team that could win away from home, and you're getting always decent prices about them. And I think 7-4 to beat Watford is a very good price.
Yeah, there's a couple of headline offers. I like that Gomis one we've just mentioned there at 5-1. The Harry Kane one from earlier at 5-2 as well. We finish off this weekend's look at the Premier League with Norwich versus Bournemouth. Norwich are 7-5 to win this game. The draw 21-10 and Bournemouth also 21-10. Headline offers, Cameron Jerome to score and Norwich to win is 4-1. Callum Wilson to score and Bournemouth to win in the market at 6-1. Derek, there could be goals in this one.
Yeah.
Norwich have looked okay going forward, a little bit shaky at the back. Bournemouth are still, under this manager, liable to attack at most opportunities.
Well, yeah, and the odds compilers are all over that. But you just remember the way they set up at Liverpool when they won a lot of plaudits, but no points. I thought they were very, very, very cautious. And there's a possibility that he might, Eddie Howe might set them up like that again against Norwich. I'm not saying he will. I mean, you know, put a gun to my head and say there'd be goals in it, but it's not a no-brainer, that one. This troubles me, this game. I can't have Norwich at 7-5. I think that's too short. Bournemouth is one of those teams that could have a stinker one week and play a team off the park the next. But 21-10 is not giving too much away. I'll have to go with the draw, really. I think this could be one of your draw double bets.
Yeah, I agree. I think it could be as well. Just because most of what you've just said there, I think they level each other out quite nicely. I think they'll both go for the win because they're both, at this stage of the season, will think these are 3 points we could well deal with, beating the teams around us. But as it gets closer to the end, if it is a draw, I think both will kind of sink back in and settle for the draw a little bit, if you know what I mean. If you get past 60, 70 minutes, I think they'll both kind of like ease off a little bit because not losing will look quite favourable. I mean, Norwich at home, 1-1 against Stoke, played really well, had lots of efforts on goal but didn't convert them. Only scored one against Palace, and Palace beat them 3-1. That's the kind of result I think you're kind of almost intimating, Derek, isn't it? That you wouldn't be surprised if Bournemouth sat in and then tried to hit them on the break like Palace did. I mean, remember, they scored 4 at West Ham, Bournemouth, and then they went and scored 4, albeit at Hartlepool. But scoring goals is my point. The way they're playing, they are putting the goals away. But I will go for the draw. I think they will both cancel each other out in the end. Another one, another draw. It seems like you're sitting on the fence a little bit when you pick that. But 21-10, I think it's a decent
price. Lots of draws.
I honestly think if you can pick two out, I mean,
perm the draws this weekend.
I think the West Brom Southampton could be a draw. I know Derek prefers Swansea, but I quite like that Watford. I think Watford might really set up to stifle Swansea as well. I think Leicester Villa could be a draw.
Man U Liverpool
could be. Yeah. Leicester Aston Villa's got a look of a draw about it. I wouldn't be surprised if Sunderland get a draw against Tottenham even. So I think there are draws out there. It's just picking two. Remember, you pick two draws, any of those prices, you get around the 8-1 mark, aren't you? So nice.
Naps then. Chaps, this looks a tricky coupon,
double?
So we might not get all three up
Can
this
I have a draw
week.
Double in my nap.
Derek, what's your best bet on the coupon?
I'm going to go for the one I mentioned very early on, Aston Villa to win at Leicester at 100-30.
Aston Villa to beat Leicester 100-30. Mr. Phelps?
Yeah, I'm going for a goal scorer this time.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm going to go for that one that I said right at the start. Eden Hazard. I think Chelsea will get off to a better start after the international break. I think they'll win the game, and I think Eden Hazard will come back with his tail up and ready to do some damage. So Eden Hazard to score at any time against Everton at 8-5, I think it is.
I'm going with Swansea to win away from home against Watford. I do like that headline offer as well. Gomez to score and Swansea to win 5-1, but for the purposes of the treble, I'm going Swansea to win at Watford. So that treble, Aston Villa 100-30 to win at Leicester, Eden Hazard to score any time versus Everton 8-5, and Swansea to win at Watford 7-4. Just under 30-1, that treble. I haven't got as good a feeling about this one as I had the previous ones we've done on the podcast.
Yeah, rather than playing the treble, do you know what I do? I'd probably play it as singles.
Singles, not even a Trixie. Not even a Trixie for the doubles.
Just leave Leeds out. Yeah, no, I was going to say leave you out. Let's just back DKs.
Thanks for your company, Mr. McGovern.
Cheers, lads.
Thank you, Mr. Phelps.
You're welcome.
Remember, you can follow us all on Twitter at dkellner, at betlikeapro, and at Lee Phelps. You can check this podcast out via Audioboom. Just type in William Hill. And as always, you can get us on iTunes as well. Thank you for your company on the Pump Podcast, and we'll speak again soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.